Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In this world of technology, things are ever-changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the tech zone. Welcome to the tech zone. We on our tech flow. And it's still a global market in case you didn't know. So many guests, we not trying to impress. Just want to pass off the info. You can do the rest. See, there's no escaping tech. It's part of our lives. Keep every individual connected worldwide. But all this innovation is more than entertainment. It's people like you paving a new way every day. So let your imagination run wild with all the things that you dream about. Cause the tech zone is on now with Paul Amadeus Lane. Blah. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the tech zone.
Welcome to this edition of the Tech Zone. I am Paul Amadeus Lane, and I am so happy to have you on this very, very special show. Segment 2 and 3, I'm going to be joined by a very, very special individual who's helping to bridge the divide when it comes to gaming development and a particular underrepresented minority when it comes to gaming development. Talking about women. There's not a lot of women when it comes to gaming development. There are some, and they are just hands down just nice. I mean, some of the games that they put together and the teams that they're a part of is just amazing. But I always, when I talk to youngsters out there, I always tell them to get involved in STEM education at a very young age. Learn coding, learn a lot of these things. And you parents too, try not to hate on them. And I'll tell you why. The industries are really going to automation, robotics, just data, electronics, technology. That's the wave of the future. So why not shift your children's focus to STEM education, to learn about coding, learn about all these different things that will help them to be competitive and to get a job out there? Because let's face it, the fast food jobs pretty soon, it's going to be like the Jetsons. You know, Elroy's going to be back there pushing buttons, are operating everything from his home laptop. So definitely think about STEM education. We're going to be joined by a very, very special guest who is just a rock star when it comes to the gaming development industry. She's a rising star, and what she's doing is amazing. Her story is going to inspire. So don't forget, you can always connect with me, paulamadeuslane.com. That's how you can reach out to me on social media, the Twitter, you know, all the different ways you can connect with me. Let me know if there's a particular subject you would like for us to cover on the show, because this show is not about me. It's about you. It's what you want to know when it comes to technology. And I've got a lot of different feedback, like, hey, we want to find out women in tech. So you ask, I give. I'm like a waiter in your favorite restaurant, here to serve you anything you want. What rap lyric did that come from? That was Houdini. Echo Scratch, yeah. From the Back in Black album, that's what it was from. All right, we know that Comic-Con is coming up. We're going to be live from location there. So stay tuned for our coverage that we're going to have there as well. So this show is fast-paced. We're going to get started. So we're going to take our first break right here. When we get back, we're going to be joined by the awesome, by the wonderful Layla Shabir, founder and CEO of Girls Make Games. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone. In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can. Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm Paul Amadeus Lane. This show is going to just blow your mind. My guest that I'm going to have on, she is going to talk about what her organization is doing to help encourage, to help motivate girls out there to get into the video game development industry. And this is huge. This is amazing what she's able to do and able to pull off in a short amount of time has just been awesome. All the superlatives, awesome, stupendous, vainglorious, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, with all the superlatives out there. It is so amazing. And I'm so glad she decided to join me on the show to talk about not only her story, but what her organization is doing out there to encourage girls to make games. And I'm so happy to have with me right now a young lady I had a chance to meet at PSX 2017, and she's an amazing person. I talked about her before. She's been on the show. Layla Shabir, founder and CEO of Girls Make Games. Layla, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Paul. This is really exciting.
You know,
I like that globe behind you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I got the whole world in my hand. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, I do.
But, you know, I'm glad I had you on because I wanted to catch back up with you from our conversation we had at PSX because you have done some incredible things. I've been following some of the things that have happened with Girls Make Games and also you, the ESA honoring you and all this, these great accolades. So before we talk about that, for once you missed our first interview together, why don't you let everyone know your story and what made you to create Girls Make Games?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll have to, I guess, start at the start. I grew up in the Middle East. My family is Pakistani and I lived there for about 18 years. I was in high school. I come from a very different culture where a lot of people in my extended family don't expect girls to, aim really high or have ambition. In fact, the word ambition is seen almost as a bad thing. So at a very young age, when I started saying things like, I want to be prime minister of Pakistan, I think it shocked a lot of people but the only two people that it didn't shock was my parents, and they, in fact, encouraged it and fueled it. Like I said in the ESA award night, I was talking about how those are the two people that I would credit, because even when I had the whole world against me, they believed in me, and they said, my dad's parting words the first time I moved to the U.S. were, live like a young man. And it's a quote that we say, it's a saying in Urdu, and it basically means live without fear. Be brave. So he wanted me to come here. I was moving all by myself. I'd never lived without my family. I was 18 and moving to a new culture, to America, a country that, you know, a lot of people from my part of the world don't really think is safe for Muslims and don't think is safe for women from our culture, but then, you know, my parents took that step, and I'm really, really grateful for that. So I went to MIT, and I was going to go become an economics professor. I always wanted to teach from a very young age. I was running a school for young kids when I was in elementary school myself. So I was running a school in our backyard for the kids in our neighborhood. So education's always been really close to my heart, and I always saw it as a ticket to a better life, or a better understanding of the world that you live in. And after I graduated, I met someone very interesting, my current husband. At that time, he used to play a lot of Halo, and he was just completely immersed in games. I didn't want to say obsessed. Completely immersed in games, and I didn't play any games at that time. So when I met him, I was just like complete culture shock and complete, I came from a part of world also who looked down on games and thought that this was such a waste of time. But he showed me the power of games, and he showed me what games can do to a person's cognitive skills and critical thinking and all of these things that you can learn from games. And given that I was interested in education and I was going to pursue a very straight path, like, hey, I was going to become a professor, go teach at a university, and consider my job done. But he helped me question the way we were doing things and the way the world does things. And together we decided that we would explore video games for education. So we packed our bags and moved all the way to California to start an educational game studio. So the history of Girls Make Games comes from an educational games company. I haven't yet published a single game. It just so happens that while we were building our studio, it was just impossible to find women to come work with us. Even though, you know, I was a woman recruiting women, it was just, you know, we ended up having all boys. And this was the first time that I actually looked around and saw that there were so many disparities in an entertainment world, in games that look like something girls would be interested in. It's pretty, it has stories, there's all this aspects of games that girls would enjoy, but not many were making. And when I asked the people around me, most of them, including my husband, responded with, maybe girls don't want to make games. And so that's where Girls Make Games was born. It was supposed to be a one-time summer camp where we tested our hypothesis, or the world's hypothesis, that girls don't want to make games. And we proved everyone wrong, because girls love making games and they love playing games.
That is so true. And just to backtrack a little bit about your story, it's incredible. So growing up in Pakistan, and when did you know you had this ambition to strive for more and to really just buck the norms and the systems and say, you know what, I'm gonna go for it. This, you know, I'm gonna be a go-getter. You know, even though the relatives and everything and close friends may think I'm crazy. When did you know you had that drive?
So just one distinction: my parents are Pakistani, but I grew up in the United Arab Emirates okay. in the Middle East. So. I think there was definitely something there. I always felt like a really weird kid because I was always doing stuff. Like some of my earliest memories are, you know, we didn't have a drama club at the school. So I started the drama club. I wrote the play, directed the play, and no one wanted to act in it. And so I acted most of the characters just because I wanted to get the play done. So I think the go-getter personality is a definitely something innate, and I have very early memories showing examples of that. But the people that fostered it really were my parents and some of my early teachers who saw that in me. And instead of telling me, well, there were enough people telling me not to do the things, but I'm very stubborn, so I always just listened to the people who said yes. And I kept banging on everyone's doors until they said yes. Even for college, like, I mean, I applied to about 30 colleges, and I really, really wanted to get that education. I wasn't like, here are the five schools I want to go to. I was just like, anyone, please just take me. I want to go to school.
No, I hear you. And growing up in the UAE.
Yeah.
What your friends, let's talk about your friends now. Yeah. When they saw you had this drive and determination, were they like, no, Layla, don't do it. Or Layla, go on, girl, go ahead and do it.
It's really funny. My best friend actually had a transformation because before, this was a new school I joined in high school. Before I came in, she was just really, she didn't really think much about her future or her career or anything. And when I came in and became friends with her, she got really inspired as well. And I always tried really hard to get people, especially girls, excited about this, because I think when you're about 15, 16, it's really easy to forget that you're going to have a life later and you're going to be very different later. So having that practical mindset of working hard now so you can enjoy things later, it's really hard to train people in that. I think I got it from my parents and I was just trying to pass it on. I do know that there were some people that were very concerned, including some of my female teachers who were concerned about the way I used to question things or the way I wanted to do things. A lot of people were against me applying to the U.S. That was a pretty big deal. It's like, oh, you're going to be a sellout. You're going to go to America. Why not go to Pakistan or go to India or any other countries that are closer to our culture? I'm hoping that they can look at things now and see that, you know, things do work out. It depends on the person. It's true. Sometimes the environment, if you put people in the wrong environment, they might not do well. But I saw nothing wrong with getting an education. So all that I was pursuing was an education, a higher education at some of the best schools in the world. And the best schools in the world were in the West. So why wouldn't you strive for that?
You know,
and why wouldn't you push people for that?
You know, and you need to be applauded for that drive and determination, because hearing you talk, it's interesting how certain cultures are similar, because being growing up in the African-American culture and growing up in the hood, we heard those same kind of
selling out.
Yeah, criticism, selling out and everything. And it's interesting how every culture in every part of the world has a similar story of that. It shows us how we're so much alike. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to talk about how different we are. No, we are more alike than we are different.
There's a lot of fear.
Yeah.
The talk about selling out comes from fear of losing your people, or losing your values.
And absolutely,
there's a lot of talk in my culture now of how the generation now doesn't follow the same values, that our wedding rituals are changing, and honestly, those are such superficial things if you think about, you know, tradition is important, but if tradition gets in the way of progress, you need to get rid of that.
That's true. That's true. And one more question about your journey that led us to where you created Girls Make Games. And that is, can you pinpoint one point in your life that you look back and said, if I wouldn't have made this decision, I wouldn't be where I'm at today? Is there like one area in your life or maybe a series of progression of things that happened that we now have Layla Shabir?
Yeah, there's definitely one. It changed my life a lot. I don't know if it got me to where I am, but it was the first time I opened an economics textbook. So a really boring thing, but it just blew my mind away, because before ever being introduced to economics, I was pretty set on becoming a computer software developer or engineer. This is in middle school. So I was starting to look ahead at high school, and I really always wanted to be ahead. So when I was in middle school, I was already researching high school textbooks. And so when I found the econ book and opened it up and the definition of economics about how you get to understand the world and its resources and how they're allocated and things like efficiency and optimizing. And I know it sounds really boring and dry, but my mind was just so blown. I made an instant switch from software development to economics. And that's what I studied at MIT as well. And that's what I did for the first 2 years in my career before I switched to games. So I think economics gave me a very, very much better understanding of the world that we live in, because, you know, econ shapes policy, it
sure
shapes
does.
Our financial structure, it shapes everything. And if you look at time, money, people, place, they're all resources. And if you can learn how to manage those resources, that's a really important skill for a young kid.
That is so true. That is so true. And it's not boring at all. I think it's incredible, because I think if someone's going to be an entrepreneur or have a startup, they need to know about economics. They have to. If they don't know, they're doing themselves a disservice. So the fact that economics kind of gave you that push, you know, to learn certain things, I think it's incredible and it's amazing. And it's some great advice for ones out there who may be listening. And when it comes to being in America, and you're at MIT now, and your boyfriend plays Halo, in the back of your mind, you think like, yeah, this is what my family told me about. All Americans do is play games all day and eat cheeseburgers. Was that the mindset you had at first initially?
I know for sure. So this is really funny. My parents are always very supportive of everything I did, except the switch that I made from, like, if you think about it, I started making an investment in my economics career in middle school. So from middle school until my first two jobs, I was still involved in econ, and now I was making the switch to games, which I didn't even play. So my parents were just looking at me like, okay, she's definitely lost her mind now. this boy, he's done something to her.
Yeah, it's always us, right? I got some stories too about my wife too. It was us. We're the ones that did everything, but not going to continue. I definitely understand.
Yeah. So they didn't get it all. There, you know, I kept telling them this is not about the games. The games are a medium. The outcome is what I'm interested in. I still want to teach. I'm just using games because they're more effective. And they didn't get it for some time, but they totally get it now. I mean, they were there at the Nike Night Gala. It was the most memorable night of their lives. They were very proud and very happy that I'm pursuing this. And it's definitely a huge introduction for them to a new medium of entertainment. I mean, neither one of them sees games as something that they would engage in, but they see kids around them. They see everyone's playing all the time.
Yeah.
So they understand why we're trying to create more diverse content, more educational content.
That's so true. And we're glad that you did. Now take us to the point now where you finally created this company. You're trying to get ones to come in and work for you.
Yeah.
How did you overcome that challenge? What did you do? Or did you start to think that maybe I'll go back and go back into econ and maybe be a spokesperson on one of the cable news shows and talk about economics, you know? How'd you deal with that? How did you deal with that challenge?
It was really impossible. I mean, it wasn't until we hired everyone. So the first iteration of the company was basically what we called a gamer hacker house. And what that meant was we got this big apartment and we flew people out to live with us. So I was almost like mother hen, like feeding everyone and taking care of everyone, making sure they're making the good games that we want them to make. Mm-hmm. And at one point I looked around and I was like, it's just me and six boys. I mean, what's going on? I'm just taking care of six boys who love playing and making games. A difficult transition for me, you know, going from what I was doing before and the way I was looking at things. So it's very easy to look at someone's life trajectory and think that they've always been successful and they've always been so sure of what they wanted to do. But there were definitely moments where I would question because I didn't understand games myself. I mean, I didn't play very many, so I didn't understand why someone would have that emotional reaction or connection to a game. The only game that does that for me now is League of Legends, which is really weird. I have an emotional connection with League of Legends.
Do tell. So you shouldn't have said that. Now I want to know what the emotional connection is.
It's really good for my mental health. I mean, I play League quite a few times a day. I can't have a day without League. But that's the only game I play. That's another thing is like once I start something, I have an obsessive personality. So
that's
I've just been playing for several years and, and haven't been able to put it down.
That's me. Like when I first started playing Battlefront, I couldn't put it down until I finished both of the campaigns, you know, so I definitely get it. So Layla, what I want you to do, if you can you stay with me one more segment? Cause I want to get into more about the Girls Make Games, what you do for young women out there and just some of the great experience you have in doing that. But not only that, I want to talk about what you guys got planned, for the future. So can I hold you over for one more segment?
Absolutely.
All right. So everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back with some more Tech Zone with the great Layla Shabir. I told you guys this is going to be an awesome segment. One of these days you're going to believe me. We'll be right back with more show coming up after this.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
In this world of technology, things are ever changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the Tech Zone.
Welcome back to the show. Last segment of the show. I can't believe it's almost over. But I told you in the beginning how my guest that I'm having on right now, Layla Shabir, is just an awesome person. Love her story, love her drive, love her determination. She is so instrumental to the gaming world. You have no idea. She's going to go down to me, I think, in the Game Hall of Fame, what she's doing right now with these young ladies. I'm telling you. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? See, she's dying to get back in and chat with me. So Layla, let's talk about now. You have the company up and going. Mm-hmm. When did you decide, okay, I want to have this as a platform for young ladies out there? I want them to get into the dev part of gaming, get them to use their creative mind. When did you decide to make that route? Or take that route, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, definitely the first summer camp. So like I was saying, it was really impossible to find girls, and everyone kept telling me girls don't want to make games. So part of my economics training is empirical research. So our first summer camp was supposed to help us with that research, because if I'm making educational games and half the kids out there are just not interested in games, then it's not the most efficient way to do this. And so what ended up happening, we decided to do one summer camp, and it would just be here in the Bay Area, the closest location to us. And as soon as camp started, the reaction that we saw in the girls and the families and the emails that we got were just so emotional. Like, this isn't what I expected at all. I mean, it's just a summer camp. In my head, I was like, this is just a summer camp. But it was so much more to them. And it was so much more to the women in the industry who were, you know, tweeting us and emailing us and telling us, I wish this existed when I was younger. I would have, I might have chosen a different life trajectory, or I wish this existed when I was younger. I would have met so many other girls who are just like me and wouldn't have to struggle all these years to tell myself that I belong here. And then just watching the girls, I mean, the last day of camp was so emotional. We were all crying. It's supposed to be like a coding boot camp, but we were crying because, you know, we weren't going to see each other for another year. And the girls had made all these new friends. A lot of them only had other guy friends who they played with. I mean, in their class, they were boys or their brothers or their fathers. But now they had a community of girls that were just like them. And they felt really revalidated and really confident in who they are. And they knew that there was a place for them in the industry, especially after going on field trips and meeting other women that were already working there.
Wow.
So I think those 3 weeks were not just transformational for those girls. They were completely transformational for me. I mean, like I said, it was hard for me to relate, because if I was a young girl, I wouldn't have ended up at that camp because I was so different. But then that's the whole point of perspectives. Meeting them made me empathize with their struggle and the things they're going through, because we're all struggling in our own different ways. And if I can help one community, one group, reach their potential through this, then there's absolutely a need and a place for girls make games. And so that's when we decided, like, I went full time on it. It was supposed to be a side thing, but then we went on the road. So after the Bay Area, we went to Seattle, Austin, Boston. And from then on, people just started emailing us from all over the world, and we went global.
Wow.
We went to Australia, went to Sydney, Melbourne. I physically traveled to these places to meet these girls. And now our curriculum is available online, so people can just train themselves and run these workshops on their own.
That is super cool. So what year was the first Girls Make Games?
2014, actually, exactly 4 years ago.
4 years ago. And you know, I'm glad you told that story about the Twitter, because the Twitter gets a bad rap sometimes. People act up on the Twitter sometimes,
yeah.
But it's good to see that once reached out to give you some accolades, and also to give you some props for what you're doing with the young ladies out there.
Absolutely.
So glad that you shared that story. And being from the Bay Area now, I mean, Layla, you're hip, you're cool, you know about the trends. You know you got to pronounce it the right way. You got to pronounce it the right way, right? The yay area, right? Not the Bay Area, but the yay area, right? Yep, for E40, if E40 is listening, I'll be like, oh yeah, the yay area. So yeah, definitely. But no, I really appreciate hearing that story, because that really just, think about it, Layla, if, you know, even though that there's other organizations out there that's doing coding and things like that, but when I look at yours, that summer camp, I mean, that just had to just bring a lot of people together, different cultures, different nationalities, and just working together, and that had to be just, you know, what were some of the creative things that came out of the coding camp? Can you share with that, or is it an NDA?
Oh,
we can't talk about it.
Absolutely. I think definitely some of the best things that come out of the camp are the games. So the way the camp is structured is we break the camp up into teams. So you're not making an individual game. You're working with three or four other girls to make a team game. And that way you function like an independent game studio. We get you contractors. We get you artists and musicians that help you out. We help you with your narrative. So you get to write a story. And to put all of this together, you have to code. So the coding is fundamental, but it's not necessarily the core of the camp. The core of the camp is your game idea, your design, your story that you're telling. And I think girls just light up when they hear that, because they think coming into camp, it's just going to be coding all day, but they get to imagine and dream and talk and you know, fight for their idea and come up with something new. So one of the things that really stands out to me every time is the creativity behind the games is just stuff that you don't see in the market. I mean, that's one of the things when people ask me how are girls going to change the industry, is that they're making some of the most unique games that I've ever come across. They're tackling social change through games, and that's not something that you would expect 10 or 12 year olds to be thinking about. I mean, we've had girls making games about helping their family. So we had a young girl in Australia whose parents were going through a difficult time, which we didn't know at that time. Until the end of camp, we had no idea. So once we saw their game and they presented that the game had two levels. The first level had a tree in the backyard, and all you needed to do was punch the tree really hard. So punching the tree would get you points. And so we asked her, like, what is the purpose of this? And she's like, sometimes you're just so frustrated that you just want to punch something. You know, it feels good. So we got that. And then the second level was a candy room where you can eat all the candy in the world and never, you know, get sick or gain weight or any of that.
I want to go to that room because when I look at a piece of candy, it's like opening up a can of biscuits. You know what I mean on me? So,
yeah. So she's thinking, and so we asked her, like, what motivated you to make this game? And she's like, well, my mom has been really stressed. I wanted to make a game for her that she could play. And then we find out at the end her parents had recently separated. And it is true the parents were going through a difficult time, but this 10-year-old could see that and wanted to do something to help. So she didn't want to make a game for fun. She wanted to make a game for a purpose. And that's something so powerful, and it's recurring. We see this over and over at camp where girls are making games for their friends, or they're making games for, we had a girl make a game for her sister with Down syndrome at camp last year. So that's a recurring theme, and I think we could definitely use that, a lot more of that in the world. If we're playing games anyway, why not also play games that can help become better versions of ourselves or help alleviate some of the pain that the world is in, you know?
That's so true.
So yeah.
No, and that makes a lot of sense. And what happens to these games after the girls make them? Do they get to show them off at school and be like, hey, this is what I made. Check it out. This is what I did this summer.
So the girls get to keep their games, but then there's also a really cool thing at the end of camp. So we run these 8 to 10 camps around the country, and there's all these teams, about 50 teams, that compete for something called the grand prize. And the grand prize is getting your game published. So top 5 teams that we select are, you know, flown out to the Bay Area. They pitch their games to some really cool judges. I mean, this year's judges are Sean Layden, Phil Spencer, and a whole bunch of other cool people. And they present their game sort of like Shark Tank, where they pitch their product. And one winning title gets their game kickstarted. And then part of their prize is working with us for a whole year worth of mentorship and professional development of their game. And at the end, the game gets published on, you know, all kinds of platforms. Like, we have our games on Steam, their games on Google Play and iOS, and hopefully on PlayStation, Xbox one day.
That is super cool. I mean, those girls get a chance to have something and just be like scoreboard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
and what I love about this is because we see the underrepresented market of women, yeah, when it comes to developing. You know, I know there's some pretty pretty cool rock stars over at Sony. And
because the games that the girls are making are interesting to other girls. So sometimes we have these new campers that come in and they find out about the camp because they played one of the girls' games. And they're like, that's my favorite game. So I wanted to go to camp to make a game like that. So their favorite games are not like these massive AAA titles. They're actually really in love with other games that are made by girls like them. I guess perspective, right? So young girls understand other young girls, and they're making the games that are interesting to them.
That makes sense. So when it comes to the future, What do you got? What do you got going on? Anything you can reveal about what's going on, what's happening like within the next few weeks or so? Can you share that with us?
Yeah. So July is coming up. It's my favorite time of the year. Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be hundreds of girls making games, descending on, you know, at Girls Make Games camps and locations around the country. And for the next 3 weeks, actually for the 3 weeks from July 9th to 27th, they're going to learn all about game development, go on field trips, meet awesome speakers, and then make new friends and make some games. But beyond our summer camp, I mean, this is just one of those things where we can't scale the program the way that it's set up. So I can't have every girl who ever wants to make a game go through camp. I mean, that would be great, but I don't know how to make that happen. So our really big project that we're working on is getting our camp online and making it completely free. So we're going to take all of our curriculum, and we're working with some really great partners, including Google Play and PlayStation and Xbox, to make this happen. So we're making tutorials and modules and teacher helper guides, all kinds of things. If you're a girl who wants to learn how to make a game, or if you're a teacher or a parent who has a daughter, niece, friend, neighbor who's interested in making games, the Girls Made Games portal would be the place to go. So then you can meet all these awesome women in the industry, you can learn how to make your own game, and you can attend an event that's actually held online. So we'll be doing AMAs and things like that online as well.
Awesome, awesome. And what's the best website to go to? Is it girlsmakegames.com?
Yes, that's correct. So the portal on there is under development. So we have an alpha that's out there, but we're currently working on that.
That seems amazing. Make me want to sneak into a camp to find out what all these great girls are doing, making these games and everything. I mean, that's amazing. Just the creativity. And think about the time in which we live in. You're talking about solving social problems. Now this is a challenge that I put to all my colleagues out in the media that I know and that I know personally. This is the stuff we need to talk about. This is what we need to talk about. We don't need to talk about all the divisiveness that's going on in the world. We need to talk about great stories like this, because this is it. I mean, this is amazing what these girls are doing, and Layla and her team being at the forefront. It is truly amazing. So I'm gonna get off my soapbox right now, Layla, and stop preaching. But, I wanted to find out too, you gotta touch on it a little bit about when the ESA honored you. Talk about getting that email or that call and just the emotions you went through by being recognized by the Entertainment Software Association.
So, yeah, I was actually in Canada. I was in Canada for one of our largest workshops ever. We were teaching 200 girls in Toronto with Thomson Reuters. And I had a call with Anastasia, the director of ESA Foundation, and she told me about it. And I was just... like, are you guys sure? Because it just, like I said, I still continue to feel like a little bit of an outsider, because I do come from outside the games industry. I didn't grow up thinking I wanted to do this, and yet here I am. And at this event with all of these leaders from the entire games industry, I was going to be front and center and being awarded for something that I feel like I've only just gotten started in. But Anastasia, she's amazing, and she just said, you know, you belong here and you deserve this and everything. And it's just, I still definitely feel like, what just happened? But then I think the important thing to do, and the way I've been able to get through it, is to, instead of shine the spotlight on myself, when the spotlight shines on me, it shines on the girls.
Absolutely.
And a lot of women, I think generally, I would say women, we struggle with shining a spotlight on ourselves, because we think I'm not worthy, or, you know, I'm not there yet. So if we can think about sharing that spotlight, or if we can lift other people up with that spotlight. So that's basically what's happening here. Is after the Nike Night event, a lot of other bigger companies and studios reached out to us and wanted to collaborate. And what that means is that a lot more girls are now going to be able to go to the camp and have a camp in their city or a workshop in their city. That wouldn't have happened without the award. So repurposing it in my head really, really helped.
Now that's, you know, and I saw it online and I was so happy. I was like, wow, I know her. I had a chance to meet her. And, you know, I similarly have a, the same how you feel about, you know, the video game industry and everything. I had an opportunity a few months back to go up to Sony Interactive Entertainment in the Bay Area, PlayStation, and had opportunity to share my story on Global Accessibility Awareness Day. And when I was up there giving like my little talk about my experience with gaming and just my story, I was like, I never thought in a million years that I'll be up here sharing my story. You know, it's like, because like you, you know, my background is in journalism, media, and also being a musician. But now, to, you know, be into the video gaming realm, you know, it kind of blows you away. So when you said that, it kind of took me back, like, wow, how did I get here? You know, so, you know, just the great people. And it's awesome to be embraced by ones like Sean Layden, like Phil Spencer, you know, and the responsibilities that they have to even know who you are personally, but not only that, to say, hey, we're behind what you're doing. We want to help you out.
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
Yeah. How does that make you feel, you know, when you, to have the backing of those heavyweights?
I mean, it's definitely incredibly validating, and it's also, it reinforces my belief that this is where I was meant to be, you know, to be in the games industry, to be a part of the future of entertainment, the future of education. I truly believe the future of education and entertainment is in games. And the more I meet the leadership in the industry and the people behind it, the more that's reinforced, because without these leaders, you know, like you said, highlighting our work or supporting our work, it would be impossible to get to the community. So Sean saying, hey, you should host Demo Day at Girls Make Games, or Sean inviting other judges to host at PlayStation, it's been really insane. I mean, I live 20 minutes away from PlayStation, and I never thought that we would have a camp there, and that's actually one of our biggest camps now. We have a camp at Xbox, and that's one of our other bigger camps in Seattle. I think it's very hard for us to empathize with the burdens that they have. You know, they have,
absolutely,
they're running these teams, and they're always the face behind the success and the failure of the things that they face. And for them to still, like you said, take the time to get to know like you and me and all the people around them personally, it's just really incredible. It's very admirable, and I really, really appreciate all of their support. It makes me want to become a better person and be worthy of that, of their support.
That is so true. And I tell you a funny story. Sometimes I have this, you know, when I go off into a tangent and tell stories on the air, so I'm going to do one right now too. It was right after I interviewed you at PSX, and you gave me that wonderful t-shirt that I promise I'm going to fit into one day. I need to drop about 30 more pounds, and I'm definitely going to wear it. I'm going to wear it on the air, Layla. But here's a funny story. I just got off interviewing you, and I went to Josh Schwab. From Daggers. I went to his booth and spent some time with him. And while I'm there, I'm breaking down my camera equipment, and I see Sean. Sean shows up, you know, Sean has his bodyguards. I wouldn't go close to him. And I wasn't going to bother him. So I was putting our stuff together, and Sean said, hey, Paul, thanks for coming last night. That's for our global accessibility meetup that we had, accessibility meetup. And I told my wife, Sean remembered my name. I'm never going to wash my ear again. I'm not going to. But it really is surreal. Really is surreal. You talk about the burdens that they all have, and Sean is just like salt to the earth, and salt of the earth. Just the way he embraces things, you know. And it's an amazing. And you and I can talk for hours about this and everything. But before I let you go, my dear, is there anything else you'd like to articulate out there to the viewer, to the listener, about Girls Make Games, or anything we didn't touch upon?
Yeah, I think the part that I talked about, the portal, that was really what I wanted to get out, because it's something that we're putting a lot of our heart and a lot of our sweat and tears into. And I'm hoping that it'll be the answer for people that, you know, are emailing us and saying, hey, is your program coming to my city? And unfortunately for so many of them, we're always like, we're so sorry, we can't come to your city, we're a very small team. But with the online summer camp or the online, you know, game dev course, anyone can learn how to make a game anywhere in the world. And in fact, that's one of the most important things that I think has come out of everything that we've been doing, you know, the curriculum that we've developed. It also answers the question, why not boys? You know, what about boys who want to learn how to make games and there's no resources for them? We can always point to a website and say, hey, this course is open and free for all genders, for all ages. You just need to, you know, have the desire to want to make a game. So it's open for everyone.
Awesome. I love that. I love that. And Layla, great talking to you. Look forward to chatting with you. Always come on and let us know what's new, what's going on with Girls Make Games. And
I would love that.
And don't get too big time, you know, because I'll be like, remember, Layla, you're supposed to come back on and spend some time with us. So
you know what's really funny, Paul? Your middle name is really memorable. So I remembered Amadeus, and I was like, there's something Amadeus.
Yes.
Does that happen to you? Do people call you Amadeus?
Yeah, they sure do. When I used to be a musician, they used to call me Amadeus, and short Deus was like kind of like the nickname. But yeah, wow. That and so when I got into the media field, broadcasting, I just kept it so that I can still have a part of my past.
Oh, that's
part
so cool.
of my future. So I kept it there and everything. And that's very cool. Yeah, absolutely. Well, great catching up with you, my friend. Much success and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. It was an honor. It's always really great talking to you.
Pleasure was mine, my friend. Much success.
Take care.
Once again, the awesome Layla Shabir, founder and CEO of Girls Make Games. Make sure you support them. You check them out. And fellas, I saw you over there hating a little bit. Like she said, go to the portal. They can let you know about that curriculum that's going to take place that everyone can take a part of. So check it out. The website, girlsmakegames.com. Go there and check it out. Give them your support. And see that button up there that says donate? Donate something. It's a great cause. Definitely is. All right. Well, in the words of Biff Tannen, Back to the Future, 1, 2, and say the 3. But I'm going to make like a tree and get out of here. Until next time, take care of yourself, folks, and make someone smile. Until next time.
In this world of technology, things are ever-changing, rearranging. You need someone to help you out. I know someone who can.
Come and take a journey with me as we go through the land of technology. You'll never be alone. You'll be with Paul Amadeus Lane in the tech zone.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.